Our scripture reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes.
I do have to make a confession, and this is just based on biases, because we all have them. And so I want to make sure that we have and understand these biases and that we understand the confession. And I talked to Greg, and Greg says, it's okay, I can preach anyway. But this past Wednesday, I was at the prison, and I was getting fingerprinted. Some things happened in life that just, the true story, right? True story. So right now, you have bias, right? And what I mean by that is some of you are racing, going, I knew that guy from Chicago, I knew.
Yeah, I saw you there.
And no, the most embarrassing part was a guy named Bud Graves did come up and say, preacher, what are you doing here? He was a member of our church. He now lives in, Enid down there south of Strasburg. The reason I was in prison, and see, this is why you got to hang on and not give your bias. Because some of my bias was like, what was he doing? What was he doing? And you're hanging on. They need people to help preach the weekends at the youth prison. Now, I've got to clear all the background checks and all that stuff, so I was there getting fingerprinted to make sure I'm not an axe murderer, not a whatever. And so that was why I was there. Now, those of you whose imagination ran wild say, wait a minute, and let's come back and pay attention to what we're going to hear today. Now, those of you who are also new, why did he kick his shoes off? And this is actually from, real quick, this is the sermon before the sermon, Exodus 3. Verses 4 and 5, the Lord then said, he turned aside and looked. This is as Moses sees the burning bush. God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. And then he said, do not come near. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. Now, if you read into that, and I learned this from the Korean church, anytime you're speaking for God or God is speaking, you're on holy ground. Remove your shoes. So I'm not trying to implement my wills on any other pastor in the world, any other person. I just have come to realize if I keep my shoes on, I'm speaking. Take your shoes off so God can speak through you. So that's why I do it. So next time you won't say anything, I'll just do it. Isaiah 54:2. Man, one verse, 4 points. I remember growing up in the 70s, listening to people. They talked about what things were happening in the Bible. And they spoke about the book of Revelation, and they talked about Matthew chapter 24. And I read some of that stuff, and I just thought, there is no way in the world any of that mess is ever going to happen in my lifetime. There's just no way. It is not going to happen. Is that me or? Yeah, I don't know if it's me or the wind or whatever. It's me. It's just me. I'm going to shake, rattle, and roll, so we'll be all right. Those of you from the 50s, you know what I'm talking about. Right, I was born in 1961. It just didn't happen. But yet, Greg asked the question a year ago or so, and he said, if I'd have told you, 2 months prior to COVID, that every church was going to be shut down, we'd all said, you're an idiot. You're nuts. You're crazy. But yet, within 2 months, it happened, right? I read a survey. This is from the Survey Center of American Life, dated March 4th, 2022, and another one, the Pew Research Center. Their article, dated 10/17/2019, talks about church attendance. Talked about how church attendance is going either down slightly or staying the same. And you say, well, hey, it's staying the same. Well, that's fine, except for the population is growing a whole lot faster. And it talked about how there's less Christians now than there ever has been. It talked about how the fastest growing group in the United States is what they call the nuns. You know what a nun is? It's when they ask you, what religious affiliation are you? You say, none. I don't have one. Over 20% now is listed as nuns, agnostics, and atheists in the United States. Over 20%. That's the bad news. I mean, and it's not getting any better. The end time's coming closer. If you think about it, and you read there's wars and rumors of war, and then I read in the Ukraine there's war, there's rumors of wars, and throughout places like Africa. Whatever you personally think about COVID, I don't care that much what you personally think, per se, but think about it for a second and just answer me this. Has it not divided this country into two groups, one way or another? What God may have taken as something good and said, hey, I want to have this so that we got to stop and slow down and take a look at us, Satan has now used as to keep people at home in fear, to keep people divided. Worldwide disasters are happening all over. In case you missed, this is from the year 2021. I just did a quick Google search. Here's from 2021. Here's some of the big disasters they had. In 2021, August 14th, 2,248 people died in an earthquake in Haiti. December 16th, 375 people died in a typhoon in the Philippines. July 20th and 21st, in the middle of the United States or in China, 302 people died from floods and landslides. Our own country, December 10th and 11th, through the middle of the country, tornado ripped through, killing 92. Not to be outdone in August, Hurricane Ida killed 91 in Louisiana. That was just 2021. What I'm saying is I truly believe Jesus is closer than he ever has been. And I ask this question. You Christian man, you Christian woman, what are you doing to help bring in those who are nuns and don't come to church? What are you doing to help show them Jesus Christ in your life? I think we've been complacent far too long. I love this. What was the title I didn't get one of the brochures. What's the brochure? Ignite. No. And what was his? What did he say? His topic was going to be basically about. I mean, it was more of the Ignite conference, and it was like something about giving you a plan. What is your God's given purpose? I'm telling you, this is the way God works. Okay, here's the sermon, my title. Never heard of that sermon? Never heard of that thing? Title is Implementing the Plan Today. I'm telling you, when God starts revealing to pastors all the same thing, understand he's moving that way. He wants us, he's giving us, I think, one final chance to implement the plan before he's coming back. And it's up to you, those who are going to church, those of you who profess to be believing in Jesus Christ, it's up to you, it's up to me to say, are we doing that? So that's what's found in Isaiah 54:2, implementing the plan. First, it's dream big. Enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge the place of your tent. Dream big. Make sure it's a God-sized dream. Now, let me be real clear. Dream, not fantasy. I still have in my pocket my cell phone, and if it rings, it's the Chicago White Sox calling me that they need me to play right field. As the years pass, I'm slowly beginning to think they may not call. Thinking that. I'm not sure. They had a couple injuries, so I'm still holding out hope. That may be a fantasy. But what's your dream? What's your God-sized dream? You guys just had one. We at Emmaus, our youth, we say, hey, we want to help the well over in Africa. What do? I don't know. What can youth do? Sit down, be quiet, right? Oh, we need help moving tables, right? We need help moving chairs. That's all we want youth for, so we don't have to lift. But somewhere along the line, one of them said, or thought of, or someone in that group leader said, hey, we can do a bake sale. We can help raise money. Now, again, there's a lot of things I know, but only about youth because I got four of them. I know this about youth. When they need money, they got an unlimited supply because they come up and say, Dad. And then if I don't have it, then they go, well, go to that magic machine that you just put in your card and money kicks out. There's an endless supply there, Dad. Go get it. Right? They dreamed big. They dreamed big. What's your God-given dream? I work for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA. My God-given dream is to see a huddle, our word for Bible studies, in all 15 public schools. That's counting Clark County, Winchester, City of Winchester, Frederick County, and Warren County. Got about 8 or 9 of them going right now. Right? You say, how is it going to work? You got to dream big. Last fall, I had nothing going in Warren County, or last spring, so had nothing going in Warren County, so I just went and prayer parked. I couldn't prayer walk because they said, please, you'll freak people out and we'll call the police on you. Just sit in your car, act like you're picking up a student, prayer. And so I prayed 15 minutes, all the Warren County schools. Prayer parked. Never knew it, but hey, I started a new tradition. Prayer parked on Friday. That Thursday, the head coach from Warren County football calls me up and says, hey, coach, I don't know why, but I'm supposed to feel, or FCA, I don't know why, but I'm supposed to feel like I'm starting a huddle in the school this fall. How can I do that? Has nothing to do with me, but I'm dreaming big. What's your dream? What is it that you can do that you say, oh, it just kind of nags at me, but fear grips me? Look, you just sung a song in which you said, fear doesn't stop me. All right, I don't remember the word. What was it?
Fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your light.
Are you standing in his light? Because fear doesn't stand a chance. What's your dream for God? What's your dream? That's the first point. Enlarge your tent. Begin to get on your hands and knees and ask God, God, what is my dream? God, is this it? And he'll lay something on your heart. Now, if you can do it yourself, I'll be honest, if you can do it yourself, it's not a dream because you don't need God. Trust me, I'm one person, 15 schools, I'm not even counting Shenandoah University, which they want me to do there too, and they also want me at Lord Fairfax, what they call it. Thank you, Laurel Ridge. Sorry, Lord Fairfax. Hail Laurel Ridge. So we got 2 extra schools. Plus they tell me they're building another. It don't matter. I'm one person. I got to dream big. That's what I want. But it's not going to happen with just me. It's God-sized. Enlarge your tent by dreaming big. Let God work a miracle in your spiritual life. It may be to simply talk to the neighbor next door who constantly closes their doors on you. Second, do the work. Verse says, you look at 54 there, 2, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Man, that's like pulling the curtains and pulling them bigger, right? It may work, it might not. I know when it's real cold, my wife and I are sleeping, there's always a kind of a tussle for covers. Sometimes I win, sometimes she does. I've learned if I really kind of bowl myself up in a ball like a cocoon, she gets really mad and just yanks, but it kind of wakes me up. You got to be careful. I mean, you got to stretch so far. I mean, to make something be 8 feet and it's a curtain, you got to pull it. And if you've ever put up a tent, there are times when you're like, I know these are the right poles, but, and you're like yanking for all you're worth to stretch it over those poles. Well, what does that mean in a spiritual sense? What does that mean? It's meaning to have a dream is not just enough. You got to work. You got to do your part. You already heard, went and prayed for the one. Recruiting other people, trying to get them to help if they want to do it. Go to churches, come to Mass, come to different churches. Hey, you got somebody who'd like to do this? Keep abreast with people. A guy at Middletown called me up, said, hey, I'm 20, just graduated college, literally just got my first job. I just started. He said, now it's August. I want to know what God's got going on for me because I need to do something for my community. I'm like, amen, dude. Here's what I got going on. He says, well, I went to Sharando. I go, good. We got nothing to Sharando. You got any contacts still there? Yeah, I know Coach so-and-so, Coach so-and-so, professor. Good. Go talk to him. Get us in there. What am I doing? Nothing. Doing the work, having the meeting, telling them, sharing the vision, sharing the dream. This is what we got going on. You want to be a part of it? Because God does. And God's already laid it on his heart because he said, I don't know what for sure, but God wants me to do something in my community. That's it. I mean, if I would look at all you Christians, I would think and hope you'd say, yeah, God wants me to do something in my neighborhood, in my community. Because if you can't, then I got to ask, what's holding you back? What's going on? What's going on in your spiritual life that you can't? Another dream I have is possibly doing a special ed, we call it all ability camp, one day. Got to do a lot of work for that. Got to do a lot of work for that. Because you got to have every volunteer, if for every camp, you have to have one volunteer so they don't wander off, which I never really thought about, but it would happen. You got to have coaches who, I've already had three or four coaches, yeah, if you do that all abilities, I'll be glad to do a track. I'll be glad to do football. I'll be glad to do this. I'll be glad to do that. So now I also got to go talk to some businesses, find out if they want to get on board. You know, I go talk to Chick-fil-A, find out, hey, would you mind if we do this? What would you give? Go talk to a t-shirt person. If we do this, what kind of t-shirts would you do? How much? What price? I know they're usually $12.38. What are you going to give me? Cut me a break on. Right? Do the work. Do the work. Stretch out the curtains of your tent. Don't just dream and let it sit, because then that's a fantasy. Do the work. Then third, disciple others. It's called lengthen your cords, according to verse. Disciple others. Include others. You've already heard, I've talked to these people, go do it. I can't be the only one at all these different schools. There's too many of them. Not enough times in a week, days in a week. Yeah, I'll do my part. But I can't do it all. I got to have to lengthen my cords, right? I've got to extend my length. Think of the bake sale you guys just had. You all baked every one of those baked goods, right? All the youth, you guys just got together one day and we baked all those baked goods, right? Didn't happen that way. A lot of you all baked. They lengthened the cords. Said, hey, we need help. Said, okay, I'll do it. I can bake. Man, I can cook. I can do whatever. Lengthen your cords. Get help. Right? Whoever it may be. So you I've got to talk to Chick-fil-A. I've got to do this all ability. Well, I already know I got to talk to Kerry Mounts. Right? There I'm lengthening my cords. Talk to Joe Hall. He's the coach. Talk to my t-shirt person. Talk to a music person. I don't know. Maybe you can talk to Caleb. Say, Caleb, you got up for Saturday free? It's like you're not doing anything that you could do a little praise music for all abilities. And it's great. It's great because it's like, you know, when you say it's all abilities, you know, that's special needs. Ooh, they just kind of like, oh, I can't say no, right? Because I look at them and go, oh, heathen? No, I don't say that. Tempted sometimes, but I don't say that. I let God talk to them, right? I let God, why? You got to lengthen your cords. I know I'll need a nurse. Good. There's a nurse named Wendy Uliberry who's at Warren County High School. Hey, Wendy, I need you or your friends or a bunch of them on a certain Saturday. Whatever it may be, you got to lengthen your cords. Think about it here. Even in the church, you lengthen your cords by doing a job. Kip's an elder. Caleb's a musician, leads the music. Diane's a singer. Mike's a preacher. Some of you guys are big tithers. Some of you may be a little tithers, but you tithe. Don't matter. Some of you lead children's church. Some of you do small groups. Some of you come and say, I'm trying to figure out my purpose. Good. Good. Talk to one of the elders. Talk to my. Say, you know, this is a crazy idea, but this is what I've been thinking. Like, I'll never forget when I was in a church and a lady came in and said she wants to do a pause ministry. I thought she was saying Paul, P-A-U-L, P-A-U-L, apostrophe S, Paul's ministry. I'm like, okay, what's a Paul's ministry? And she kind of starts explaining. I said, that's Paul's ministry? She said, no, you misunderstand. Pause, P-A-W-S. Because what she wanted to do was she wanted to bring in dogs to help people that are in the hospitals. And she wanted the church's blessing to help go to the hospital with dogs to help those people. I thought, oh, that's cool. Never would have thought about bringing, I mean, I was always like, it's sterile, stay away, you know, you got, you know, now they're bringing dogs in there, great. I don't know what your dream is. That's not my dream. But your dream may be that. Your dream for God may be, I can't fill in the blank. What does God want you to do? But you may need help, and I'm sure you're going to need help. Because if it's a God-sized dream, usually you can't do it just by yourself. You got to have help. You can't hear me clearly without the sound guys. You know, they could turn me off any second. You know, that's why you're very nice to sign people. They're always like, hail sound people. Give them, you know, give them an extra cookie. Right? Because they can make me sound real funky on radio, on tape, or at live. But don't matter. They can goof you up. Because you need people to do these things behind the scenes. I think too often our dream fails because we fail to include other people. We just don't do it. All are needed. All are functions of the body of Christ. To not give an opportunity for others to serve, I think, is the most selfish thing there is, and it robs them of receiving God's joy. And we don't understand too often. We want to be the eyes, the hair, the nose, the teeth, the beautiful lips, whatever it may be, right? I was reminded of this last week. We were talking to a doctor. You know, a ligament's kind of important, especially in your knee. I don't know if anybody, like, I'm getting older now, and these things are kind of, like, wearing out, and they, like, hurt now and all. But you know what I found? Like, this bone right here, and this femur, and man, those things are, like, really strong. They can hold a lot of weight. But they can't do anything without that little thing called a ligament. And if you've ever had a torn ligament anywhere, by golly, the whole body aches and hurts. So if you're supposed to be a ligament and that person's a ligament and you're not using them, your whole body's going to ache and hurt. Your whole dream's going to ache and hurt. Everything you're trying to do is not going to be right because you're not using the body of Christ. Grow your relationships. Celebrate your current relationships. Find out what their desire is. Find out what they like to do. Listen to the Lord. Clint, I need you to go to the youth prison and see if they need help preaching. But Lord, I've got enough on my plate. Didn't ask what was on my plate. Lord says, I won't give you too much. What I asked was go by. And if I'm really obedient, then I go by. And it was strange because I went into the prison, just gave my card and said, hey, you know, this is what I've got. If you need help, you know, here's my card. Just give me a call. Let me know. And I'm kind of like poo-pooing it off going, just there, God, am I happy now? I'm out of your hair. Okay, I did what you asked. And I left. Get an email the next morning. Yeah, I remember exactly who you are. This was a lady from whenever I did it before in 2009 before I left to South Carolina and came back. And she says, yeah, I know who you are exactly. Yes, we need you. Training's this week. Imagine if I would have waited. Would have had to wait for training. So come this week. See you at 6. Yes, Lord. But here's the point. You know what really feels good? It's when you go into a youth prison, and I'll never forget the one day I was there. 20 kids. This was back, 20 kids. And I was going to preach them this wonderful masterpiece on Satan, like they didn't already know about Satan because they were in jail. But anyway, I was going to, and I'm like, and I mean, literally my head is getting like a headache. Like my head's going to explode as the doors are going, if you've ever been in a prison. They got these metal doors. One can't open until the other one, so they're open. And I'm like, I'm getting between the two metal doors. And my head is about to, I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to preach then? He said, tell them about me. Oh, which makes a whole lot of sense, right? So I go in, and I no notes prepared, just John 3:16. 20 kids. Now, at the end of the sermon thing, I said, okay, thank you, guys. And God said, ask them. And I usually never do this. He said, ask them. Guys, how many of you said that prayer and received Jesus Christ? 19 hands. He said, now ask the other one. Young man, I'll never forget the guy. He was like at the last one, and I was like sheepishly, young man, can I ask, why didn't you raise your hand? He said, oh, I've already done that, but I haven't acted very well. And I said, well, have you ever thought about recommitting your life to Christ? He said, what's that? And so privately, as they're in line on the way out, he's saying a prayer with me to recommit his life to Christ. All because, and I wanted to preach on Satan, all because God got my attention. Why do you do it? Because nothing feels better than walking out going, I just saw God change 19 lives, probably 20. 19 are in heaven now and 20 has changed. Amen. Trust me, the kids in prison are hurting and lonely like a lot of you. One of the things they found out about COVID was a lot of people, even churchgoers, are staying away from church, and they are just lonely. They're isolated. Man, they don't know what to do. They need to lengthen their cords. We need to go out and talk to those folks. Bring them in. We just need to do it. Finally, strengthen your peg. Dwell with God. Strengthen your peg. Dwell with God. That's strengthening your peg. Remember the first tent we bought? A bunch of kids. You ever get those little plastic spikes for a tent about this long? Yeah, you're laughing. Yeah, we tried to drive them in where we were at, and it hadn't rained in like a year, I think, you know. If they didn't bend, they broke the tops off. We finally got them kind of in, and then God said, you know, like barely, and then woof, the tent went blown away. And I explained to my dad, and he's like, what are you doing? Because we're like getting a bigger hammer, right? We're like really trying to drive them in, getting his sledgehammer. And he's like, what are you doing? And we told him, and he said, those are the pegs, and he kind of was laughing. And I'm like, yeah. He said, I got you covered. So the next day, he comes home from work, and says, here's your pegs. Here's your tent stakes. Tell you what, when your dad works at a place where they get 1-inch round metal rebar and they bent it at the top and grind it at the man, there wasn't a place we couldn't drive them jokers. And we never bent them. We could not bend them. I mean, the rock broke that we would try to drive it through before the actual stake. We strengthen our pegs. God is asking you today to strengthen your peg. He's saying, dwell with me. Strengthen. You know what dwell means? I mean, do you really know? Webster Dictionary. Dwell means to abide, remain, reside, exist, or to keep the attention directed. Can you honestly proclaim that you abide, remain, or exist in God's presence on a continual basis? Do you know God in a relationship, or is God an acquaintance? Do you dwell in God, or do you visit God? Yeah, I go Sunday. I go Sunday to church. I'm a good Christian. I go Sunday to church. I live like the devil all the rest of the time. But, boy, I go to church. So I know I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Just ask everybody. Ask my friends, you know, the ones that don't go to church that I hang around with. Do you dwell with Christ? For us to be stronger, we got to read our Bible daily basis. Spend time to God, developing relationships with him. Talk to him. Listen to him. Spend time to him. It's really taking our old, frail, plastic peg self and then being renewed, refined, recharged, and made into a God-fearing, Bible-reading, prayer warrior by God himself, the creator of all things. That's strengthening your peg. You want to implement the plan? If you do it, 4 simple steps. Dream big, do the work, involve others, but mostly, and where you really need to start, dwell with God. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you've never dwelled with God. See, I don't even know who God is. I just kind of come because people ask me. I really don't know about Jesus too much. Maybe you want to learn more. Maybe you want to ask him into your heart and accept him and find out what it's like. Don't be the one that said, well, when I get better. No, trust me. You're not going to get better. You're going to stay goofing up. Okay? I still goof up. Yeah, but you preach at the youth prison, and you preach here, and you, yeah, I do. And I preach at the schools during the week. I know they don't like to call it that, but that's what I do. ACLU hates it, but I love it. I preach. But yet you're a sinner. Yeah. I mess up. But But I ask God for forgiveness, and then I go and do his work. Not because I don't do it because I'm good enough. I don't do it because I'm going to get a reward. I don't do it any of that reason. I do it because I love Jesus Christ because he loved me first. And that's what we're asking you. He loved you enough to get you here. Now maybe you want to accept him. Greg's over, where you at, Greg? Greg's over there. Kip's right here. Diane, if you want to grab Diane, I don't care. Look, Caleb will keep singing if you come grab Diane, want to talk to her. Okay, Caleb, will you bail me out? Will you not keep singing if someone comes? If you want to pray with her or whatever, just say, I just need prayer, grab her, right? You won't mind praying with anybody either, Miss Wallraven, will you? I said Miss Wallraven because I'm saying trying to include kids if you need someone to pray with. Try to knock it over, didn't I? Doesn't matter. I'll be here if you want to talk to someone you don't know very well. Say, yeah, but these people know me. I'm embarrassed about what happened. Good. Come talk to me. Because if you're embarrassed about it, at least you know it's wrong. Whatever it may be, I'm going to say a prayer, and Caleb and Diane, I guess, are coming up. And after I say a prayer, we'll close. If you need to talk to any of those. If not, remember, I said this is God's holy ground. You don't have to take off your shoes. You can keep them on this point. But just come up here and say, hey, maybe I need to talk to God. Or maybe right where you are. You just need to talk to God. Do it. Speak with God. Father God, I thank you and praise you for this time we've had together. Lord, be with us now as we get ready to go. Father, I ask and pray that we truly, truly understand what it means to be a Christian. And Father, that it's not something that we accept Christ and we move on. No, Lord, there's work involved. Lord, you've given us dreams. Father, you want us to include others. Father, you want us to work, but most of all, Father, you want us to dwell with you. Father, give us that vision. Show us how to do it. Teach us at all times to do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.